And now it's time for the Cartoon Connoisseur Theater Podcast. This is Frederick the Announcer, who is being handsomely paid in food and is wonderfully eating it right now. And I am here to introduce you to UberNerd 527. And now here he is, UberNerd 527.
Hey, hey, arcaders, it's UberNerd 527 here once again. And I'm here for the Cartoon Connoisseur Theater Podcast. Welcome. For those of you who have never heard this one before, maybe you're new to the Cartoon Connoisseur Theater, we talk about all things cartoons. We're here for those of you out there who love cartoons and love to talk about them. And we're going to be talking about some cartoons today. Now, usually, the last couple of episodes have been really focused, I guess since the beginning, we've been focusing on movies, not necessarily theatrical movies. We haven't really done a lot of those. So I decided to do a theatrical movie review. And because of this, I wanted to do something a little different. Now, I've done movie reviews in the past. I've done a movie review with Ray on The Electric Circus, with both Pixels and Star Wars The Force Awakens. So I figured it would be kind of a cool idea to do a movie review here on the podcast, and I actually might do these more often as more movies, animated movies, have been coming out recently. Now, obviously, I won't touch on all of them, but I will touch on a few that I'm excited about. And so when I do these reviews, I kind of like to have a partner in crime. I kind of like to have a Judy to my Nick, if you will. So today, for our two reviews that we're going to be doing, I have actually asked my mother, the Uber mom, to come here and... What are you doing? Stop. Will you sit down already? Good. Please, I like my mess where it is. Just leave it there. I love the organized chaos. Sit down.
Organized chaos. I don't like those two words together.
Well, that's the way I like my fortress of nerditude. Anyways, say hello to our audience, please, Uber Mom.
Hello, audience.
Good. Excellent. So, pretty short and sweet. Okay, so, Uber Mom here has decided to, or actually, I forced her to join us here because we're going to be talking about two movies. We are going to be talking about the Peanuts movie, which just recently came out on DVD, video, and on demand. And we're also going to be talking about a movie that's still in theaters as of the recording of this, and that is, of course, Zootopia. Disney's Zootopia. So we're going to be talking about those today, and we're going to be talking about our thoughts about the movie and our thoughts about both of them. Now, we're going to start off with a movie that I was really excited about at first hearing about it, and I was really wanted to see it in theaters, but unfortunately, because I was busy at the time at work, I was not able to go see it, and that, of course, was the Peanuts movie. Now, the Peanuts movie is something very personal to me because I grew up reading the Peanuts comics, and I really enjoyed the Peanuts movies that I watched on TV, and I really loved Peanuts. In fact, one of my earliest memories is my parents going to a garage sale and getting me a book of Peanuts comics and me sitting there and actually reading it, and just loving every minute of it. Even though these were old comics, I really did enjoy them very, very much. So I really have been waiting very patiently to see this movie. And I know that I had the opportunity to because my mother's birthday was just recently. And she is a huge Peanuts fan as well, which probably has passed on to me. And so I got her the movie for her birthday, and we both watched it, and I think we both liked it a lot. Let's talk about our feelings about this a little bit later on. So, just some fun facts about the Peanuts movie. The Peanuts movie was a film that actually was co-written by Craig and Brian Schultz, who are Charles Schultz's son and grandson, respectively. Now, what did you think about that news when you heard about it?
I thought that was wonderful, and I thought it was reflected in the film.
Okay. Yeah. Do you think it was his style of writing, or do you think that was the kind of style that they used?
It was very close.
Very close?
Very close to the style. Okay.
All right. This was the first Peanuts movie in 35 years.
Wow.
It's been that long. And this commemorates the 65th anniversary of the comic strip as well. Which, even though there's no new comic strips because they ended the run after Charles Schulz had passed... actually, he was retiring and then he passed away not long after. They decided to stop the strip entirely and not make anything new or keep going with it. But they still printed in the comics and the Sunday Funnies. You can still read Peanuts comics, but they're called Peanuts Classics. So they're just reprinting of old Peanuts comics, which is kind of neat. The movie, and just some other fun facts about the movie. The movie grossed $246 million worldwide and got a 97% score on RottenTomatoes.com. And that's a pretty passable movie. It's a B, I guess, if you were grading it. My mom's a teacher, so, you know. If it was a B, right? That's a B? Yeah, that's a B. I haven't been to school in a while. So, that's a B, right? Yes? B?
Well.
Yeah? Okay.
Teacher's assistant.
Right, got it. All right. So, that's a B, right?
Yes.
Okay, good. So, it's still a passable movie. Now, going into this movie beforehand, and what did you think about this movie? What were your fears about this movie?
Well, of course that it stays true to the cartoon itself and the characters in the cartoon. I was wondering if it was going to be a flat, I don't know if that's the right terminology for the film, but if it was going to be a flat cartoon.
Right.
Or have more dimension.
Right.
To it. So that is something that I was concerned about. And those were my concerns when I said they're going to do a Peanuts movie, and I'm thinking, oh, what are they going to do, you know, to this movie?
Okay.
I was hoping that they would stay true.
Okay.
To the original movie.
So overall, what did you feel about the movie? Overall.
Oh, it was very well done.
Yeah.
Okay. Very, very well done, and it exceeded my expectations.
Good. Good. All right. Now, my mom is an artist as well as I am, so I love having artists in the podcast with me, because I love to ask this question. What did you think of the art style of Peanuts? Because it was very unique from any other CG movie I've seen before.
Yes, I liked it very much.
Right.
When I was growing up, there were vinyl figurines of the Peanut characters.
Uh-huh.
And I felt like I was watching one of those come to life.
Uh-huh.
And so I really, like I said, I was really impressed with the artwork and the 3D effect that it had. I wasn't watching it in 3D, but it had dimension to it.
Right.
And I really enjoyed the dimension and the color.
Right.
And again, sticking with the original cartoon.
Right. What did you like about, because one of the other things I liked about the movie myself was that it was kind of a marriage of 3D animation and 2D animation. There were some scenes where it was 2D animated. It was very that style, even though it still had Charles Schulz kind of squiggly line style that he had. You could tell it was still new animation.
Right,
you know.
Right.
But what did you think about that? Did you think that took away from the movie? Do you think that enhanced it? What did you think?
I think it added it to the nostalgic quality of the movie.
Uh-huh.
The flashbacks.
Right.
That they were having in
right.
the movie. And that they would be the cartoon, the original cartoon.
Right. And you saw scenes from, like, The Great Pumpkin and, from the Christmas movie and others as well. And then also some of them were even from the classic strips themselves.
Right.
And then also there were even parts of the movie itself where it almost went that 2D animation, which was kind of neat. So I did enjoy the movie myself. I thought it was a very well done and very to what Charles Schulz would have done. Now, there have been some criticisms about the movie. One of them saying that One of them was complaining about the pop song that they had put in the movie. Now, did you think that pop song took away from the soundtrack?
Not at all.
No?
No, because, of course, nostalgic-wise, for my generation, it was wonderful.
Right.
But you don't want to be, you know, it's not for my generation.
Right.
You know, the cartoon was for children.
Right.
And so because of that, because of that's what they're used to, and that's the music that they're used to, it just brought it all together.
Right. Okay.
Is how I felt about that. I didn't think it wasn't overdone.
Right.
At all.
Okay.
It just brought a little bit of a more today quality.
Right.
To the film.
Okay. All right. I thought that same way. I didn't think that took away from the movie. I thought it kind of enhanced it a little bit. Mm-hmm. The song was very catchy, and it was very to what was happening on the screen. So I don't think it took too much away from it. The other complaint about the movie that I read was that you actually, the little redheaded girl that Charlie Brown is in love with, mm-hmm. You never saw her face. You only saw like the back of her head most of the time in the comics. And she never actually talked in the comics or in any of the movies. However, and by the way, I just want to start before I say anything. This is going to be spoilers. So if you're not wanting to be spoiled the movie, then don't listen to this next part. But they actually showed the little redheaded girl, her face. They showed how she looked exactly, and they also had her talk for the first time ever. Now, do you think that that's something that Charles Schulz never would have done, or do you think it doesn't really matter?
I don't know if he had that in mind to do at some point in time, but I appreciated it.
Right.
I was so, you know, they started off with just showing the back of her head, and I'm thinking, oh, just show her the front of her. Just show her face. Just show her face. I want to see her face. And when they showed her face, you know, I that was a very exciting moment for me because, you know, I was hoping, you know, you just want to see, see her face, you know, hear her talk.
Right, right.
You want to hear her talk. And that was wonderful, especially at the end. I thought that was wonderful.
Now, out of all the Peanuts movies, one of my favorite Peanut movies is Your Good Man, Charlie Brown.
Yes.
Which was the one he went and did the spelling bee. Yes. That was one of my favorite ones.
With Linus.
Yes. And, you know, Snoopy went with him, and Snoopy had that whole scene where he skated in Central Park. What was that? Rockefeller Central.
Yes.
He skated in Rockefeller Central. So that was one of my favorite Peanuts movies going back. I actually enjoyed this very much. I would put it up there with that movie. I really did enjoy the love and care. You can tell that the people that made this movie were fans of Charles Schulz or knew a lot about the style and the way that he told the stories and the animators had done that previously. Did you feel the same way?
Well, my favorite, of course, was the Christmas special.
Right. Okay.
And then, of course, The Great Pumpkin.
Right.
Charlie Brown. And then, of course, there was a little Valentine, you know, movie. But I grew up myself with The Great Pumpkin and The Christmas special.
Mm-hmm.
And then later on, I think they did a Thanksgiving special.
Mm-hmm.
I
mean, you know, it's something that it as a lover of Peanuts, I really did enjoy. So let me ask you this question, okay?
Okay.
This movie was, who would you recommend this movie to?
Well, I would recommend this movie, of course, to children.
Right, okay.
Because I thought it was a wonderful theme.
Right.
And of course, you know, poor Charlie Brown, everybody feels sorry for Charlie Brown because he can't do anything right.
Right.
But in this movie, they kind of broadened his character a little bit.
Right.
More. It wasn't just poor Charlie Brown, he can't do anything right, because it was actually Charlie Brown who's being honest.
Right.
you know, Charlie Brown, who's being compassionate
right.
and caring
right.
for others.
Right.
So I really like the way that they really went farther, a little bit farther this time, with his character. And yeah, he couldn't do things right, but there were things that he actually did right. And I think they brought that out in the end mm-hmm. of the movie very, very nicely.
Right.
So then you didn't feel so bad, but you're like, oh, Charlie Brown. Poor Charlie Brown.
Right.
You know? And so I thought it was a good, it made you feel good. Because mm-hmm. sometimes you just go away from thing and all that Lucy just doesn't stop, you know. She doesn't let Charlie Brown off the hook for a minute, you know. And I children need to see more of that kind of a message, I think. Mm-hmm.
What about adults? You're an adult.
And adults, well, we need that message as well. But I like the nostalgic part.
That was one of the criticisms for the movie, and I want to see if you agree with these or not. One of them was it was too nostalgic, and the other one was that somebody actually hated Charlie Brown because it seemed like he could never win. And
well, then they need to see the movie again.
I agree.
He did win.
I agree. Like,
he did win in this movie.
Now he did the this. Reviewer, whoever it was, did admit that he had never read any of the comics or anything like that previous to watching this movie.
Oh, well, there you go.
So, you know, I grew up with Peanuts. You grew up with Peanuts. These kids nowadays really don't grow up with Peanuts. You know, you don't see, I mean, unless they
watch the Christmas special. I think right. the Great Pumpkin's still on.
Right, yeah, they show the Great Pumpkin. They
unless
show.
They watch the Christmas special.
Right.
You know, but there's so many to choose from nowadays, the Christmas specials. You know.
They have the Easter special, the Christmas special, the Thanksgiving special. And I think they have, like, a special for, like, every holiday. In fact, I remember there was a Charlie Brown one, I think for, like, the 4th of July or something, where they like, reenacted, like, great moments in, like, American history.
American history.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I remember the Wright brothers. They Charlie
yes,
Brown
the
was
Wright
the Wright
brothers.
Brothers.
Yes,
yes.
yes.
Yeah, I remember that one. So yeah, I mean, I loved it. I thought it was a really great movie. I thought it had a really great message. I thought it was done very well, but not just for me, the person who loves Peanuts, but also for the kids who have never seen it.
Yeah.
And the other thing that blew my mind is, this is a rarity nowadays, G-rated. It's G-rated. So everybody can watch it.
Right.
And it just seems like there are no G-rated movies anymore. I think not necessarily because our society has become, you know, more jaded or whatever, but because I think a lot of times the rating system is a little harsher than it used to be. You know, that's just my opinion. Mm-hmm. But you know, G-rated movies are, you used to see them all the time when I was a kid. Now it's like every once and again you may see a G-rated movie. But again, I think I really attribute it to the fact that maybe the rating system is a little harsher than it used to be. What do you think? You don't know? Okay, well, that's fine. So, you know, the Peanuts movie, I would highly recommend it to everyone. If you enjoy Peanuts, if you're an adult and you enjoy Peanuts as a kid, you will love this movie. If you're a kid and you've never seen Peanuts before, I think this is a good introduction to the Peanuts characters.
I think it's a wonderful introduction to the Peanuts characters.
Right. Mm-hmm. I think that also, the other thing that I loved about this Peanuts movie and also all the other Peanuts movies is they actually got kids to voice the characters. Actual real children to voice the characters. And whether they were actually the kids' age or not, I'm not exactly sure. But it made it feel a little bit more authentic as opposed to getting actors or actresses that can just have a kid voice. Now, I'm not bashing voice actors that can do that because there are some really good voice actors and actresses out there that can do kid voices and it sounds really good. But there's just something about having a kid voice a kid in a cartoon that kind of makes it a little bit more authentic. What do you think?
Yes, I agree, and I think that the voices were very well done.
Right.
From the original.
Uh-huh.
There, I really didn't. I think Lucy was Lucy.
Right.
You know, I really didn't think, oh, they used another voice for Lucy.
Right.
I didn't have any of those feelings. Uh-huh. Or Charlie Brown. Oh, no.
Yeah.
You know, or even, you know, Snoopy's little, you know. Yes. So I just thought that was very well done.
Right.
The voices were
and great. The person who did Snoopy also did Woodstock as well, okay. By the way, just so you know. But I thought it was very well done. I thought it was a very good movie, and I highly, highly suggest it to all you out there who love that kind of stuff. I highly suggest it to kids. I think as parents, if you let your kids watch this, I don't think you're going to get sick of it. Uh-huh. Unless they watch it like 5 or 6 times a day, then maybe you will. But other than that, I think you will enjoy it.
It's a good family movie.
It's a good
really
family movie.
Good family movie.
All right. So now that that's over with, we're done with the Peanuts movie, let's talk a little bit about the main event, the big part of this podcast, and that is going to be Disney's new movie, Zootopia. Now, for those of you out there who have never seen Zootopia before or haven't seen it yet, first of all, why haven't you seen it? It's been out for a month. second of all, this is a really... Let me just fire off the bat and say I think this is probably one of Disney's best movies since a long time. Original movies, not princess movies or fairy tale movies. I think this is one of their best original movies in a very long time, and so I really enjoyed it, and I can't wait to talk about it. So let's get into it. Now, Zootopia took many, many years because a lot of the planning of just the city itself of Zootopia took forever to plan this whole thing out. So just a little fun facts about Zootopia. So first and foremost, there are 12 different habitats in Zootopia. Each is a district of the city. So you have Tundra Town, you have the Rainforest District, you have the Sahara Sands, you know, you have all these different places in the city that animals need to live. There are some animals that need to live in those specific habitats. But then, of course, you got the core of the city, which is, you know, where everyone blends together. And it's kind of really kind of neat what they thought of. Now, in Zootopia, there are 64 different types of species of animals that live in Zootopia. Which is amazing to think about. They actually counted every single animal species that they used in the movie, from a little bunny rabbit to rhinos to, you know, little lemmings to rats and whatnot. They used all kinds of different animals, and each of these animals are the size that they would actually be in real life. So if, I mean, other than the fact that they're actually walking on 2 legs, which means they're anapomorphic, which means they walk on 2 legs. Anapomorphic. It's a big college word.
Anapomorphic.
Yeah. I'm hoping I'm actually pronouncing that correctly. Anyways, it means they walk on 2 legs. So other than that fact, their actual size. So Judy Hopps is actually the size of a real rabbit. That would be her species. And, you know, Nick Wilde, who's the fox in the movie, is an actual size of fox. And then you've got other animals that are actual size. And kind of seeing how they all fit in this is kind of interesting. Now, let's talk a little bit about how well it did in the box office. So these, by the way, all these box office facts come from boxofficemojo.com, just in case you want to fact check me anyways. So Zootopia made, as of the recording of this podcast, Zootopia made $240,547,409. And that's just here in America, domestically. Here in America, that's how much it made. That's a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
All right. However, worldwide, it made $696,747,409 worldwide, and it still has to open in a few other places. In fact, Japan, it's opening on the 23rd of April, so it hasn't even opened all over the world yet. So It's still got a ways to go.
And it just opened.
It just opened about a month ago, so about the beginning of this month, end of last month. Mm-hmm. So that's really good. As far as I know, that's really good for that movie. It is the number one top March animated openers. Out of all the animated movies that open in March, this is the number one grossing movie. Its second and third place are The Lorax, which is based on the Dr. Seuss book, and Ice Age 2. That Ice Age keeps chugging along. They just keep making movies. Yeah. There's a new one coming out.
Ice Age what?
5 or 6 or something. Anyways, so it is actually the number 2 top grossing movie for Walt Disney Animated Studios. Now, what movie do you think is number 1?
Well.
Uh-huh.
Frozen.
Of course. All right. So, of course. Let it go. Oh, gosh. No, don't.
I won't.
Let it go, Mom. Let it go. anyways. Frozen is number 1, and Zootopia is number 2, and that's actually really good as well. They've been doing very well with movies as of late. Disney Animated Studios has been doing a lot of really good stuff ever since John Lasseter had become the head of Walt Disney Animation Studio. I think they've really improved and really grown to be almost the same quality as Pixar, having the same type of movies that really draw people in, and very creative movies. This is the 55th animated feature by Disney Animation. So, and then of course, Rotten Tomatoes, their score was 99%. Wow. It got a 99% rating.
That's
cool. So
that's an A.
That is an A. That's right. It's not an A plus, but it's an A. Let me give a little outline to this movie, just in case you've never seen it before we get into spoilers, okay? So, this movie is about a little bunny named Judy, and Judy growed up, wow, I am English speaking all over the place, Judy grew up in a little country town called Bunnyboro, and her whole life, she dreamed of only one thing, and that thing was, of course, to be a bunny cop. And there, before Judy, there had been no bunny cops, because bunnies are very small, and you know, a lot of the police officers were big or predators or, you know,
rhinos
and, you know, all that stuff. So she was the first bunny cop, and she gets to Zootopia, and she starts to become a bunny cop, and I think her viewpoint when she first gets there is everything's going to be perfect. My life is going to be amazing. And
she's in awe.
She's in awe of everything that kind of happens. And then reality kind of sinks in. And I think this is really true for all of us. You know, I think that mindset we can all kind of relate to. You go into something thinking, this is going to change my life. I'm going to love every minute of this. How can I hate it? You know, I know with my job, at first, at first I didn't want to do it. And then I was forced to do it. and then I was like, well, I guess I can enjoy this a little bit. And then all of a sudden reality kind of sinks in and you're just like, oh, why am I even here? You know, not that I'm saying where I work is a bad place. It's just, it's not perfect. It's not that perfect thought that you have when you first start. What do you think about that?
Well, when Judy first goes into the town and she's looking all around from one side of the trail, I don't know mm-hmm. what you call the tramway, to the other side, and she's just in awe of everything.
Mm-hmm.
And that is like, you know, I can relate it to going to Disney for the first time.
Right.
You're just in awe of everything. There's so much.
Right, there's just so much.
And you just want to do everything and see everything.
Right.
And you're just like, you know, you forget, or you don't even think about the lines that you're gonna have to be in,
or the you heat because we live in we leave in Florida.
People running over you with strollers. You don't think about those things.
Right,
you're
right.
Just focusing on the castle and, you know, smelling the
popcorn
and the cotton candy. And you're hearing the music, you know, and you don't think about that until you get in a line that you have to wait an hour. You know, for or whatever the reality hits,
right?
You know, so but so that feeling I think we've all felt in our lifetime, you know, at one time or another,
right? And then eventually she bumps into a fox. Now, she was told by her parents,
she was warned
that foxes are sly and foxes are not trustworthy. Mm-hmm. And above all animals that they listed, because they listed a lot
about
of
the rhino. It was about the fox.
So the fox, you know, and she meets this fox, and the fox's name is Nick. And Nick, you find out, is kind of like this slick con man.
Lovable, slick
con man. I would put him up to the level of like Grunkle Stan from Gravity Falls. That kind of. He does these outlandish plans and sometimes very, very intelligent things, but you know that he's just there for the money, and he's just there he'll swindle his own mother sometimes just to get some money.
I don't think that he was that cruel. I don't know. He was lovable. He was lovable. I mean, he did it to survive.
Right, he did it to survive.
And but, I think it was ingenious.
Right.
But his little scheme
was ingenious.
That he was running, I thought it was pretty ingenious. I mean, his little sidekick he had there at first, you know.
That little Finnick fox, yeah.
Yeah. Used as a baby. I thought that was pretty funny, you know. And then, you know.
But, you know, eventually what happens, the two of them get intertwined and they have this case to solve, and you know, you find out there's a lot of prejudice going on in the town, and there's just kind of a dark side to this Zootopia that you don't really see on that surface, and that's what this story is all about. Now, before we get into all the message of the movie and whatnot, let's go into some questions that I have for you. Okay, so I picked these questions at random. So, my first question is, what were your expectations before going into the movie? Did you see posters? Did you watch any trailers? What was your expectations?
Well, I did not see any posters or any trailers.
Okay.
I don't have a TV in my home. I know that you don't. Viewers might be shocked that I don't watch TV.
Okay.
I live in a rural area in Tennessee. Okay. And we don't have high speed, you know, or anything. So
or
I was not
electricity or
no. We have
they have horse-drawn carriages, and
I could only wish.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I did not see any trailers or any commercials or anything for it. The way that I heard about the movie, first was through my students.
Right.
And they were coming in the first weekend that it was released in our little town.
Uh-huh.
And they were all excited about this movie.
Right.
And they were all going on, oh, I got to see this movie again. Oh, you know, you just love this movie. And they loved the little animals in the movie. And they thought it was so funny.
Uh-huh.
And then I talked to some adults that had seen the movie, and they loved the movie.
Right.
And they just loved the good, clean, adult humor that was in it.
Right.
And they were even, you know, they were saying the lines over again, you know, which is a good, to me, is a good sign of a good movie.
This is a hustle, sweetheart.
When people say different lines in a movie that they've seen one time, and people know what they're talking about.
Yeah.
And so that's a good, you know, water cooler kind of stuff talking about it. And they really enjoyed it very much. So I was like, okay. And then you invited me to see the movie, and then invited me to be on this podcast, which I'm very excited about.
Cool.
Sharing this with you.
All right. But, so this is seems to be a trend, though, especially more so now in cartoons on TV and even a lot of movies. But this is it's not something new to movies, to animated movies, because this is, I mean, going all the way back to movies like Little Mermaid and Aladdin had a lot of adult humor that, it, you know, good, clean adult humor, like you said, that went over kids' heads, but adults got it right away. And I think that even TV now is starting to pick up on this, and there's a lot of there's some trends now with TV that a lot of TV cartoons are starting to do this too, because, you know, I think that people who make these TV shows now understand that the parents are going to be have to forced to watch these cartoons, and if they're going to be forced to watch these cartoons, they may as well entertain the adults as well as the children. I know a couple examples of some cartoons like that would be like My Little Pony: Friendship is Magic. Gravity Falls is a really good example of that. Even to even a more extent, Star Wars, Star Wars Clone Wars, Star Wars Rebels, very much for kids. However, at the same time, you know, adults love it. Heck, even, and you're gonna groan when I say this, but even the new Ninja Turtles cartoon is,
well, the Ninja Turtles, yeah, that you watched,
right? Yeah,
you had adult humor in it,
right? And it now is even more so, because now the kids who grew up with those Ninja Turtles are now having kids, and it's actually kind of fun to see, you know, the parents with a Ninja Turtle shirt on, their little kid with a Ninja Turtle shirt on, you know, parents wearing a, you know, a bandana over their head with, like, you know, like little play swords, and like the little kid wearing like a little turtle shell and like little bandana on. You know, it's kind of neat to see that, you know, and I think this is a trend that is starting to go into cartoons, a lot of cartoons now. Heck, even preschool cartoons, they've started to do this now, where they made it entertaining for adults as well as children. And I kind of like that. I kind of like this trend that's been going on lately. And, you know, seeing like movies like Aladdin, and, you know, Robin Williams filled that movie with jokes all over the place.
Robin Williams made that movie. He did. Aladdin come to life.
Right.
That was wonderful. Wonderfully
right.
done.
I remember, that's definitely one of my
those
favorites.
Those were ones, you know, you said those lines over and over again. And I watched that movie so many times that I knew the line over and over
that's
again.
True.
And that was our family.
Right.
You know.
I think another one would
joke.
Probably be, yeah, it was.
Yeah, we always said the lines.
I think another one would be Lion King. I think was another
Lion King, yes, yeah. Yes, where you repeated the lines.
Even to this day, you still use a lot of those lines. I know that you know, we still use a lot of the lines at work and whatnot. I know, working at Disney though, you can't help but do the lines sometimes. so that kids, oh man, you should see kids' faces when I do the fist bump from Big Hero 6 to little kids. They're like, oh, you know that? I'm like, yeah, totally. You know, it's something really cool, and I like it. Now, let's move back to Zootopia, because we went on a little tangent here. So, what did you think about the city? Now, we already talked a little bit about it, but Zootopia is such an imaginative city. What did you think about it when you saw it? Did you think the same thing? Did you think it was planned out very well, or what did you think?
I loved it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought it was planned out very, very well.
Mm-hmm.
I loved, of course, you know, the different habitats.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I loved how they brought that out.
Right.
They're separate.
Right.
And, you know, the animals live separately in these little habitats, but then you go into the central part of the city, and they're all over the place.
Right, right.
You know, even the little rodents, you know, have the little cars,
right.
You know, in the middle of the city.
Right, right.
You know, so I thought that, yeah, I liked.
You liked how that was done? They've planned so, they worked so long and so hard on that city, and they even got actual engineers to come in and say, this is what we want to do. How would it work? If you had infinite amount of money,
mm-hmm.
and you could do this, how would it work? Mm-hmm. And they actually said, okay, you know, like one of the things that you saw in the movie was Sahara Square, which is the name of it now I remember. Sahara Square is right next to Tundra Town. So you have heaters right next to the cool that makes Tundra Town. And they actually talked to engineers and actually figured out a way to actually make this work. And so that's how it kind of works in that city. So I thought it was really cool. I think you can't really see this movie once and see everything. I think you have to see it a couple of times. And it's going to be interesting when this comes out for public viewing, you know, with, you know, DVD and video and Blu-ray and Netflix and Hulu and all the other places you'll be able to see this.
Right.
I think we're going to get a lot of freeze frames. I think we're going to get a lot of people just stopping the movie and finding things that we've never seen before. I think that's going to be very exciting. And I am hoping, and this is something that actually came from my friends at my pod friends at Skywalking Through Neverland. One of the things I really hope is they have like a part of the DVD that you can kind of just sit and make your TV look like a window. That you're like looking out into the city, that would be absolutely awesome. I would have that all the time, just sitting there on my TV. I mean, because like movies like Finding Dory, you could turn your TV into like a Finding Nemo. Sorry, Finding Dory's coming out soon. Finding Nemo, you could turn your TV into like a little aquarium, and you have all the characters kind of swim by.
Oh yeah.
I would love to just turn my TV into like a little window to Zootopia. You know,
I might have to get a TV then.
Yeah, you might have to eventually. Anyways, so, I think that that's the biggest part of this movie. Now, here's a question for you, okay?
Yeah.
So, if you lived in the Zootopia world, okay?
I'm in Zootopia.
You're a little animal in Zootopia. Where would you live?
If I'm little.
Right. Okay.
Of course, I would live in
A little Rodentia?
If I were an animal. And I was, I think that I would like to live in the rainforest.
Live in the rainforest?
Definitely, you know, not the desert. And definitely not the rotunda.
Okay, the tundra?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh, tundra. Not the tundra. Oh, boy.
That's a tundra.
Yeah.
Yes. No. So I would have to live in the rainforest.
Okay, so outside of the city, in the world, where would you live?
Oh, by all means, you know where I'm going to say.
Okay, where would you live? You would live in Bunnyboro, wouldn't you?
Bunnyboro.
Now, why would you live in Bunnyboro?
Well, because I live in Tennessee.
Because you live in Bunnyboro.
I don't have to wish to live there because I live there. It's beautiful. Yeah. They have the rolling hills in the background and the farm. And
you don't have to think. You already know.
No, I already know. Yeah, I'm there. So, yeah, that was. I think they did a really nice job.
I think probably I would live in the central hub. However, I probably would also live, if I couldn't live in the central hub, I'd probably live in the rainforest area. I kind of like that. And maybe every once in a while I go to the Sahara Square and go in the desert, because deserts always fascinated me. So I would kind of like to at least visit that every once and again. Mm-hmm. But, you know, not stay there, because I'm sure it's, like, bleeding hot there, so...
No.
But I would definitely... I would not go to Tundra Town, ever.
No.
Never Tundra Town. Never.
You know, maybe for a little visit.
No, never visits. That's cold.
You've never seen snow.
Well, I've never seen snow, but I know it's cold, so therefore... Yes. Therefore, I would not go there.
No.
But, all right, so, who was your favorite character in the movie?
Well, of course,
Judy Hopps, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah,
so,
of course, Judy.
Right.
She's
why?
My favorite character.
Why do you like Judy? Why do you think Judy is?
She has the can-do attitude.
She has the can. What does that mean? A can-do attitude.
But she is determined to fulfill her dream.
Right.
No matter how, you know, far out it is.
Right. Okay.
And I just love that she pursues it, and she has determination. She doesn't let anybody stop her
right
from doing it.
Right. And You also, one of the things you said when we were coming out of theaters, you liked that she's also very positive, too. She's a very positive thinker.
Right. I loved the part where, you know, she was told she had to be the meter maid.
Right.
And she just looked like, meter maid?
Right.
I don't want to be a meter maid, you know? And, you know, I thought her reaction to it was wonderful. Instead of just saying, they made me a meter maid, and being depressed about it or upset about it or grumpy about it, like I'm, you know, I'm not going to be a meter maid, you know, and just really get down about it. She was like, okay, if I'm a meter maid, I'm not just going to give 100 tickets
in a day
before noon.
Right. Well, 100 tickets in a day.
Right. I'm going to do it before noon, and I'm not just going to do 100. I'm going to do 200.
Right.
So it was like, okay, you got me down, but I am not going to stay there for 1 minute. I'm going to prove myself to be worthy.
Right.
You know, and I'm going to still go after my dream, more or less. So, even though she got shot down, you know, she got back up there real quick.
Right.
And she did it. Right. She fulfilled it. She went out there and they made her, you know, do it.
Right.
She got her 200 tickets before noon.
Right. And I enjoy Judy as well. Judy is also voiced by one of my favorite actresses from a show that I absolutely love, which is Once Upon a Time. She plays Snow White. In that, and she also has kind of the same attitude as well, although I think she's a little more serious in Once Upon a Time than she is as Judy. But she is played so well by Jennifer Goodwin, and she's just everything that worked with that character. I think her facial expressions were almost perfect. You could see what she was thinking. I loved just the look of her. You kind of, at some point, and sometimes during that movie, you kind of just wanted to just grab her and pet her.
I know, really.
Like, she's like, it's okay, it's all right. You can be all right.
She was crying there for a little while. Trying to get Nick to
right,
help her.
Yeah, and I just enjoyed that character so much, and, you know, I love the fact that she also was very positive, and in this kind of storm of negativity that was surrounding her, she was like, I'm just going to be positive. I'm just going to do my thing. My job, my dream is to be a cop, and I'm going to be a cop. Uh-huh. You know, but at the same time, you know, she had her bad days, and she had, you know, the days when she was hitting her head on the steering wheel going, I am a real cop. I am a real cop. You know, because I've had those days myself where I'm sitting there, I'm like, I'm going to get out of here eventually. I'm going to get out of here eventually, you know. I've had those days too, you know.
Yeah,
and
we all have.
Uh-huh. And I think she was a very relatable character. Now, my other favorite character, I actually had a tie between my favorite characters. Judy being one of my favorites, the other one being Nick. I love Nick, played by Jason Bateman. He did such a good job voicing Nick. Mm-hmm. And, I think Nick was kind of the opposite of Judy. And at the same time, he was a lovable character. I think from the moment you saw him on screen, you're just like, oh, he's kind of cool. He's kind of a cool guy. Like you said, he had an absolutely brilliant plan, you know,
yeah,
and
yeah. So he was, you know, a sly fox, but he was a smart sly fox.
Right.
Yeah,
so, yeah. And he knew the town. He knew how it all worked. But I think, though, the big difference between the two of them was, whereas Judy was like, I'm not going to let this get me down, Nick was like, all right, you want to stereotype me? Fine. I'll play the stereotype.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you want to call me a sly fox? You want to make sure you want to, you
I'm
want me
live like
that
a sly
I'm
going to
live like a sly fox.
Uh-huh.
And that's how I'm going to live, you know. And I think, though, cuz originally Nick was actually supposed to be the main character and then Judy was supposed to come in later.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, though, the fact that Judy is the main character and we follow her through most of it, I think it makes Nick even more of a his backstory even more sad, because you see Judy, you see a predator picking on prey when she's a kid, but then you go fast forward, when you get to see Nick's backstory, you get to see prey picking on a predator.
Mm-hmm.
So you get to see both sides of this.
Right.
And I think it even makes Nick's backstory even sadder, because what you see at the beginning of the movie. And I really did enjoy that. And I enjoyed Nick so much. And they just, it was good. Yeah, it was they were a good fit together. And, you know, they played off each other very well.
Yes.
And I just enjoyed both characters very, very much.
Have one without the other.
Right, right. And this was a buddy cop movie. And for those of you not up on that term, Mom, a buddy cop movie is a movie where you have two people who shouldn't work together or wouldn't work together working together.
Well, that's just a typical theme.
Right. Classic buddy cop movies would be like Eddie Murphy in 48 Hours.
Mm-hmm. Or which was referenced
In the movie. Which another one would be Rush Hour with Jackie Chan. Or another Jackie Chan one would be Shanghai Noon with him and Owen Wilson. Those are buddy cop movies. Mm-hmm. You know, you have two people who that are like the odd couple. You know, they're like oil and water, but they work very well together. And sometimes they start off as, you know, two people who have to work together.
To accomplish a goal.
Uh-huh. Sometimes they may be enemies at first, and then they become friends later on. Sometimes they, start off as friends and then kind of falling out and then coming back. You know, it's a buddy cop movie. Or, in this case, I would call it a bunny cop movie.
Yeah, I like it.
Anyways, so we talked a little bit about the main characters. Let's talk a little bit about secondary characters. Characters that you might see in the background or are just not necessarily our main characters. Mm-hmm. So, who are your favorite ancillary characters or secondary characters?
Oh, most definitely the Godfather. He was wonderful. I liked him.
I loved that character so much.
For one, it was a surprise.
Right, Mr. Big is the mob boss.
And that was a surprise.
The fact that his whole character is a reference to the actual Godfather movies. and the fact that he actually says lines from the actual movie, which my favorite was the one where he goes, "You come here on the day of my daughter's wedding." Actually, we were forced here. I thought that was just hilarious. He was such a great character. And then him actually starting off being a bad guy and then becoming a good guy later, I thought that was just kind of interesting. You know, his daughter.
Mm-hmm. His daughter really add it to it.
And, Judy becoming his goddaughter. and then, later on, his daughter, saying, "Oh, I'm gonna name him Judy right after you." And she's like, "Aw." That was hilarious. I also loved Chief Bongo, who was the water buffalo, the African water buffalo. Now, the funny thing about this I learned was that they picked that species of animal specifically because when they went to Africa, they were told by all the locals that they were the meanest animals on the African plain, like even meaner than like lions, that they were mean and they were nasty and you did not want to mess with those things. And they came back and said, we've got to use this as the chief. And I agree. They picked a perfect animal because he was a no-nonsense, like, he was intimidating at times. You know, you were actually kind of intimidated watching this.
Yes, when he'd say, "That's the way it is, I don't care."
Right. I think that was another character that I enjoyed a lot was Chief Bongo. Mm-hmm. One honorable mention I want to throw out, though, is one of the characters in the movie, which has become kind of a running gag now for Disney. Pixar had this thing where they had a character, a guy, I can't remember his name. I think John Ratzenberg. His name, John Ratzenberg, he was in Cheers. And he played Ham in Toy Story. Mm-hmm. And ever since Toy Story, he's been in every Pixar movie ever since. He's been some character. Sometimes a major character, sometimes a minor character, sometimes a background character, but he's always been in one of those movies. And, you know, this also is in Marvel movies. If you've seen the Marvel movies, Stan Lee always makes a cameo. And pretty much every single Marvel movie that Disney has done with Marvel, he's been in some scene with, you know, in the movie. And I think that Disney is kind of picking this up too, getting their own kind of good luck charm, if you will, with an actor. His name is Alan Tudyk. And Alan Tudyk played a character in one of my favorite TV shows, which was Firefly. And he played Wash in Firefly. He played the pilot. And I love that character. He was the guy that was like, curse your sudden but inevitable betrayal. We had the little toy dinosaurs. He's like, we have come to this land and we'll call it this land. You know, I really did enjoy him in Firefly. And then to find out later on that he's become this kind of good luck charm they've put in every single Disney movie for a while now is actually kind of fun as well. I believe it started with Wreck-It Ralph, because he played King Candy in Wreck-It Ralph. And then he moved on to Frozen. He played the Duke of Wesselton, which we'll talk a little bit about in a second. And then after that, he played one of the villains in Big Hero 6. He played the major villain in Big Hero 6. So he's always, for some reason, he's always played a villain in these movies. So King Candy was a surprise, because when I found out it was him doing that, I was shocked, because he's a really good character voice actor. He does really good job, and I was even shocked to see him in Transformers when he did the Russian accent in the second Transformers movie. Which I thought was interesting to see him in that. But anyways, I want to give a honorable mention to his character in Zootopia, which was a character by the name of Duke Weaselton, who was a weasel, obviously. But his whole name is a reference to the Duke of Wesselton from Frozen.
The skinny little guy.
Yeah, the skinny little guy, because everyone kept calling him the Duke of Weaseltown.
Yeah.
But he kept on correcting everyone, saying, no, it's Wesselton. And, you know, now he plays Duke Weaselton, who is an actual weasel. And so I just thought that was just a hilarious callback to, and also, you know, I think I probably was the only person in the theater who kind of laughed when he came on screen and just like, ha, ha, ha. I get the joke, you know, and it's just a little hidden gem. So I liked his character as well. He was the traditional, you know, skinny thief that runs away and you're trying to catch him. You know, he's just, he was selling bootleg DVDs of Disney movies. And apparently a few that haven't come out yet. Which one of them was actually a Disney movie that's coming out soon, so that'll be fun. But anyways, to see that. But I did like that. You know, I did like that they're hitting. I'm hoping with all the other ancillary movies that they gets hidden in those as well, and it's kind of fun to find them. You know, so, alright, so let's move on to your favorite scene of the movie. What was your favorite scene in the movie?
Well, I think the chase scene,
okay,
where they go through, you know, the city, and then they go into the
Little Rodentia.
Yeah, Little Rodentia. Thank you.
Which is actually supposed to be designed after Brooklyn.
Okay.
Which actually makes it even funnier if you think about it.
Yeah. So I think that was a good scene.
Right.
But I think the all-time favorite scene.
Right.
Was the DMV. That was wonderful.
I actually saw that, because they put that whole scene as the trailer, yes, for Zootopia.
Uh-huh.
And I kind of wish they didn't, because I kind of would have wanted to be surprised.
Yes.
you didn't see the trailer, so this was a complete surprise to you?
Well, it wasn't a complete surprise, because, you know, a friend of mine had told me about it, and they thought that was the, you know, the funniest part of the movie.
Right, okay.
So they had told me about that. that part, so I knew it was coming up. So yeah, but I'm like you. I wish I had been surprised, but even though I knew it was coming up, I thought it was hilarious. And then you could hear
all the
adults,
all the adults
laughing in the theater. So that was wonderful.
Yeah, that was such a
part, and it was so true.
It was so true.
We've all been there.
We've all been there. So I think that if I wouldn't have seen it, it probably would have been my favorite scene in the movie. But because I've already seen it before, I actually think though at the same time, because of that scene, that's what really got me excited for this movie, because I didn't understand when the trailer originally came out. It was Nick Wilde, and he was kind of explaining what Zootopia was to you. Mm-hmm. He was explaining how animals had wear clothes, there were no humans, you know, how this world kind of worked. And when I saw it, I was just like, I don't know. But not that it was a bad introduction, because it was kind of funny, but it wasn't enough to get me excited to see the movie. But then when I saw that sloth scene, I was like, okay, I get it now. So I kind of think it was a bad and good thing all at the same time, because yes, if I didn't see that in the trailer, it would have been probably even more funny when I actually saw it in the movie. But at the same time, it got me excited and kind of made me understand the movie a little bit better. And I think also, going back to the whole art thing, I think also the facial expressions on the characters are just so wonderful.
And
you know,
see it really good in that scene.
You see it really good
the
in that scene.
Slow expression.
when Nick
laughing.
Right, when Nick does the joke and he just slowly gets that smile. Yeah.
And then you see Nick's face, like anticipation. He knows what he's done, and he's like,
I got you back,
and then the little rabbits just like,
Judy is just absolutely livid, and I think also, because I had seen that scene before, I think I was in the same mindset as Judy too, of like, alright, we get it now, I've already seen this in the trailer, let's move on now, you know. So, I think that was also another really funny thing about it, is you actually felt her anger, and her frustration, because you saw it not only in her, you saw it in her face. You could just see from her face that this was, so frustrating. Just move on already, you know.
She only had so much time.
I know, right? But I think that was probably one of the best scenes in the movie as well. I also kind of liked the more heartfelt and serious parts of the movie. Mm-hmm. I think that. When it got serious, I think it really shined. I think two of the parts that probably shined the best were the scene where Nick kind of has like a confession to Judy of where he's been and why he's acting the way he is. Mm-hmm. And I think the other one is where Judy kind of apologizes and asks for forgiveness. And I think both of those scenes were done so well in the animation, in just the scene itself, how pretty both those scenes looked. And it just, I know that you were tearing up when when Judy was crying. I could see tears in your eyes too.
Poor Bunny. He's going to be okay.
So, but also I think at times, I think the movie could get scary at times too. I think the whole jaguar chase,
that was
through the rainforest.
You didn't expect it.
Right. And when you saw the jaguar's eyes just turn
that quick.
Right. And then he goes, you know, you see Judy goes, run. And they both dart. And the jaguar goes right after them. I think that was, if they hadn't cut that and went to Clawhauser, you know, talking about his app and, you know, showing the app off to that, that felon.
Yeah.
I think that scene would have been really kind of scary for kids if they would have left that alone.
Right.
And I'm glad that they actually cut it a little bit and also gave it a reason for the cops to be there later on.
Right, right.
But I'm glad that they made it a little bit funny, so it kind of broke up that scene a little bit. Now, here's another question. I don't have it on the list here, but I want to ask because this just came. Now, do you think one of the complaints I've heard about this movie is online is that it deals with some darker themes, like, you know, racism, it even talks about drugs almost. Mm-hmm. You see like a drug, you see almost like a drug lab. Mm-hmm. In fact, for those of you who know what this is, they do a Breaking Bad reference. Now, I've actually not seen the show Breaking Bad. I've never watched it, and I don't even really plan to. Mm-mm. But they make a Breaking Bad reference.
No, I haven't seen it.
yeah. But, so this was, this kind of disconcerted a lot of, a couple of parents. Now, do you think that this movie was a darker Disney movie, or do you think that it had a perfect tone for the movie?
I think it had a perfect tone for the movie. I didn't see it as being dark. Again, it's, you know, supposed to be this perfect society, but it's not.
Right.
And it's like, it's a reality. It's our lives. Our lives, you know, it should be a certain way, mm-hmm. but it's not. In life, there are stereotypes. Mm-hmm. In life, there's prejudice. Mm-hmm. In life, you have to deal with, I think it just didn't hit on just one type of prejudice, you know, being different species of animals, but also whether you're big or whether you're small.
Right.
You know, it hit on that fact, whether, you know, so I really, I did not feel that it was dark. Of course, it did hit, you know, that's what I thought about drugs and stuff like that. You know, it's here. It's right. reality. Right. It's life.
So do you think we have
to deal with that kind of thing,
right.
unfortunately.
Do you think that's another thing that goes over kids' heads, or do you think that...
I think that that would have gone over.
Right, okay.
Yeah. I think that went over. I don't think it was so deep and so dark. The way they portrayed it, I didn't feel... I felt it was just right. Mm-hmm. I've seen other where I think that they've gone a little too far.
Right.
On when I used to watch TV.
All right, so let's talk about the messages of this movie. We've already talked about how one of the things I loved about this movie was, like, there were different layers to this movie.
Yes.
You had
different themes.
You mm-hmm. had a traditional anthropomorphic animal movie. Mm-hmm. Then you also had a Disney movie on top of that, which they did make reference to in the thing. In the movie, this is not like a cartoon that you go around and sing a happy song and all your dreams magically come true. So it also was a movie where there was a mystery to it. Mm-hmm. You know, there was kind of a whole mystery,
a
very good mystery to it, and
very well done surprise.
Right, a very good surprise.
I'm a mystery like lover, and uh-huh. I just like to try to figure it all.
Right.
Who done it?
Right. Thing. And I really, we're not going to spoil the twist.
No.
We spoiled a few things already, but we're not going to spoil the twist. And
no.
I didn't see it coming.
No.
I really did not see it coming.
I did not see it coming.
They hit it
they
very,
did it.
Very well.
They did it very well.
And I tried mm-hmm. even seeing it the second time. I tried to even see clues that they may have put early in the movie. And I couldn't really pick anything, really. That kind of pointed to it. Now, I saw things earlier in the movie that pointed to other things in the movie.
Yeah.
Like the blueberries. If you know what
yeah.
we're talking about. I didn't notice the first showing when I went around, but the second time I noticed, they're setting up the blueberry thing
right.
really
right.
far in, or earlier in the movie. Mm-hmm. And, you know, other things I saw in the movie, but this I thought was a complete twist. I just didn't see coming, and I thought that this was a good mystery movie, and I thought it was kind of one to wrap your head around and kind of see how all that works. So
that's why you got to see it second time
you
around.
You got to see it a second time.
Yeah,
so
you can try to figure it out, but I don't know. Like you're saying, you saw it the second time,
right.
and still did not find
everything. Yeah,
yeah. Any
so
clues to lead up to the twist.
We talked a little bit about the messages of the movie. Mm-hmm. Now, I really truly believe there are two messages in this movie. So, one message is, of course, trying. In fact, they wrote a whole song by Shakira uh-huh. about it.
Which I thought went very well.
Which, in the movie...
Which, one of the themes of the movie.
Right, yeah. And in the movie, her name was Gazelle. Uh-huh. She was a gazelle.
Graceful gazelle.
Very graceful gazelle.
A graceful gazelle.
So
with dancing tigers.
With dancing tigers.
That's funny.
Trying as hard as you can, and not giving up. You know, even though you're going to fail every once in a while. I thought that was a really good move, really good message to this movie. Now, the other message, of course, we'd already talked about, which was discrimination. Do you think that this movie was preachy? Do you think that you were slapped over the head with
no.
it?
No. No, I liked the farm scene, back at the farm scene with the parents, you know, warn her about going off
right.
to the city and what, you know, she should be
aware of, right.
you know, especially the fox,
right?
You know, and they give, you know, good reason for it,
right?
You know, in their family history, they give good reason, you know, and she has good reason
right.
to be wary of a fox,
right?
You know, because that's who she encountered as a bully. So, you know.
It's kind of just a wonderful message to give to people that
no. You so can't... I didn't think it was preachy,
right?
But you know, but they and the who does she meet?
Right, she meets
and
a fox. Well, that's what I meant. Yeah,
the best friend.
Right,
her best friend.
Right,
is a fox.
Right,
you know. So I thought that was all well put together.
Right, I agree as well. I think that was, like I said, I think that was a really good part of the story was. It was being preachy, but at the same, it was being showing something that we have, you know, that is very much in our society nowadays.
Right.
You know, with people, you know, doing things and people being scared of people who are different because of other people who are doing these things. You right. know, and I think one of my friend Sayaku said that. You know, this is a very good movie for the times.
Right.
You know, and I agree. I truly agree. And I think a lot of the classic Disney movies actually kind of show the sign of the times a little bit, you know, mm-hmm. Where they were. And, you know, I think that's also shows a classic movie. I mean, you go back and watch Warner Brothers cartoons and, you know, that shows the times. You know, I know that a lot of time, for a while, Warner Brothers was actually censoring some of it because they thought it was offensive or whatever. But now they actually have, like, a warning at the very beginning saying, we're not censoring this because this is what the time of the, you know, this was made at a specific time in history. And this is exactly the way that those, you know, that was... okay in society then, and it's not okay now, but we don't want to, you know, change that cartoon, you know, so we're bringing it out. So I think that's a really good, because it's something that a lot of adults as well as kids need to understand, is that, you know, we're all going to have differences, but I think if we focus more on what we have similar... We all have problems. We all have pain and heartache that's happened. You know, we all have things that have happened in our lives. I think, you know, if we focus more on that stuff and less on what we look like or, you know, who's better at what and who's the top at that and who's this and who's that, you know, I think it would make a better world. And I think that's kind of what this movie is saying, is that we need to, you know, not just look on the outside, you know, it's the person, not just, you know, their outside appearance or their DNA, their DNA,
yeah,
their DNA, you know, so, so I think that was a good message for this movie. I also, one of the things I wanted to bring up real quick, just really, really quickly touch on also, is that there's no romantic component in this movie as well, that it's a platonic relationship,
right?
And I thought that was kind of neat as well, that there's no romantic, although there are people online that have already seen things where things shouldn't be, but of course it's the internet, so you know, there are people out there that are relationshipping, or what we call shipping, In case you didn't know, Mom. Or that you're listening. It's called Shipping. I kind of like the fact that there was no Orlando. But, however, he does, Nick does say, you know you love me. And she says, yeah, I do. And you didn't feel that that was a, well, at least to me, I didn't feel that that was a romantic kind of love. It was more a friendship kind of love.
Yeah.
So I kind of enjoyed that too, because there's just so many, that, you know, usually when you see a boy and a girl in a movie, usually they fall in love, because that's, you know, that's the way things are. And I don't mind romantic things. I like a lot of stuff with romantic, I hate to admit it, but I like a lot of stuff with romantic elements in it. But, every once in a while it's kind of nice to have something where that's not thrown in your face or anything like that. So I kind of enjoyed that. All right. So we're winding down now. We're winding down. So in your list of favorite Disney movies, where would you place this movie? Where would you place Zootopia?
Well, can I back up for 1 minute?
Okay, can you back up for a minute? Okay, go ahead.
Because talking about the theme,
right?
Going back to the theme a little bit, I thought that it was very important to bring out, you know, yes, it's a theme about achieving your dreams.
Right.
You know, being able to achieve your dreams and being persistent in that. But I also liked the way that her parents, even though they did not agree with her as what her dream ought to be. They wanted her to be a carrot farmer.
Right.
You know, but, you know, they told her, you know, well, you know, everybody can have a dream.
Right.
You know, but
you gotta settle sometimes.
But sometimes you have to settle. And there they were, you know, but they weren't unhappy about that.
Right, okay.
We had to settle.
Right.
So they were happy settling.
Right.
You know, it wasn't a bad thing.
Yeah, they weren't resenting it. You can tell that they kind of wish that they had.
Just for a second.
For a second.
They had this little moment, you know.
Right.
But they were happy. They were perfectly happy, and they felt that she would be happy.
Right.
Or doing what they're doing.
They still let her
do it. But they still supported her.
Right.
In it.
Right.
You know, so I thought that that was a good message.
Right.
For young people and
parents.
Adults.
Yeah.
Parents. So I really like that. But to this whole movie.
Right. Where would you place it on your list of
five.
Favorite Disney? One of your top five?
Top five.
Awesome.
You know, one of my favorite Disney movies, older Disney movies, is The Fox and the Hound.
Mm-hmm. That was my father's favorite as well. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, then of course, I guess my most recent would be Frozen.
Right.
And then I think Aladdin.
Uh-huh.
And The Lion King.
Right.
You know, not exactly in those orders, but, you know, I really enjoyed those movies.
I can't really place my favorite Disney movie. I can't really tell you this is my number one, this is the movie that I love the most.
Mm-hmm.
But I will say that this movie is definitely in the top five. Mm-hmm. Like, especially recently, like movies like Wreck-It Ralph, which I love it, but I think I'm a little biased when it comes to Wreck-It Ralph because it was about video games.
Mm-hmm.
But taking that away, I thought it was a good movie. I thought it had a good message, and it was very emotional and very, you know, it was a wonderfully made movie, and I think it's kind of sad that it's almost passed over because Frozen was the next movie afterwards, and Frozen kind of came out, and it just kind of took over the world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and but you have to remember, though, that this isn't any different from The Lion King. When The Lion King came out, The Lion King was all over the place.
Yes.
You know, everywhere you went, there was Lion King all over the place. So this is not any different.
Mm-hmm.
So I would have to say Frozen is definitely one of my top. I'm not a huge fan of Tangled, but I do like it. Tangled was a really good movie, done very well. I love the characters in it. But it's definitely not in my top five, probably my top ten. Movies like The Emperor's New Groove. I love The Emperor's New Groove. It's such a funny movie, and the cast in it is so wonderful. But yeah, movies like that, I would definitely put Zootopia with my top five. Yeah, I definitely would put it up there. So.
And it's definitely a movie I'd see again.
Definitely.
And again.
Yes, and again. Yes. And I can't wait for it to come out on Blu-ray, because I will be buying the Blu-ray, and I will be, pausing it and seeing whether... There's one poster that they kept showing throughout the movie. I have to pause it and see what it says. I've already picked it out. That's the one I'm going to find, and I'm going to just read it. I kind of hope... that, and again, this comes from my pod friends at Skywalking Through Neverland. I kind of hope that there is a setting on there that turns your TV into a window to Zootopia. Because I would absolutely love to have that, just have this, you just pick a habitat and just let your TV just kind of sit there with it, just constantly going, like the virtual fireplaces or and Finding Nemo, where you have the aquarium. You turn your TV into a little aquarium and have the characters kind of swimming by. I would love it if they would have that on there. So Disney, if you're listening, you can have that for free. You don't have to pay me. So you already do pay me, but you can have that for free. So, but I would love it. Love it, love it, love it. If they would have that, because I would kind of like to just, see these areas and see what it would look like to kind of just sit there and kind of look out into the city and, see all these different places, maybe at night and, turning it dark and during the day and during the afternoon, stuff like that. So I can't wait for the DVD. Now, what would you rate this movie? I don't know. Not rate. Hold on. Let me rephrase this. Would you recommend this movie to friends?
Yes. Yes. Adult and my little friends.
What if they didn't like cartoons?
People don't like cartoons.
People don't like, believe it or not, people don't like cartoons because apparently cartoons are for children.
Really?
Yes. Yes, this is a thing.
Oh, my.
Yeah, so what if they didn't like cartoons? What would you say?
Oh, well, you've got to see it. I'm going to say I feel very sorry for you that you don't like cartoons.
Right, I do.
I might have to be a little bit prejudiced against them.
You can't be prejudiced against them.
I can't be prejudiced against them. I just got to bring them to the light. Right.
Wow. Okay. All right. So you would recommend this to anybody?
I would recommend. Okay. Yes, most definitely.
Okay. All right. So would you watch this in theaters again?
Well, watch it in a theater again. Yes, I would.
Okay. All right. Would you buy it on DVD?
Yes.
Cool. Awesome.
You can buy it for me.
Oh, for your next birthday, I'll buy it for you. So, all right, awesome.
Just like you bought me the peanuts.
Yeah, just like me. The peanuts.
For me.
Yeah, specifically for you.
Mom, I That's got right. the peanuts movie for
and
you.
And it wasn't
so
one
we
of those.
Can watch it.
It wasn't one of those presents that I bought because I wanted to get, because if it was, I'd be like, I would have bought the Blu-ray version and kept the Blu-ray
That's
and gave
right.
you the DVD.
That's true.
So I bought
Thank
the DVD.
You, honey. I appreciate it, and I'm very excited about it.
And I can't wait until that comes out on DVD because I know for a fact you're probably going to bring that to your school kids.
Oh, yes.
And
I'm going to play the Peanuts one.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, yeah.
And I would love it if you did bring Zootopia and then you made those little paw pops and just bring all the kids
yes.
the paw pops.
Wouldn't that be the funnest thing?
That would be the funnest thing.
I think. Uh-huh.
Which I kind of, when I saw that movie, that's the one thing I was like, I wonder how those taste.
Yeah.
I mean, they're for jumbo size.
Didn't you make a comment about Disney having?
Yeah, Disney should totally have those. Why don't they sell those? Disney, what are you doing, man? I would buy a pop-up.
Big idea here. Do they still have the big idea?
Huh?
Do they still have the big idea?
I'm sure they probably have something like that. I would sell them at Animal Kingdom. I would.
Yes.
And if they had a ghetto sign with a little cooler and just ice around it, would make it even better. I would definitely do that. All right. So now, first of all, before we end the podcast, because we got to do our usual how you find us thing. First of all, I would love to thank my Uber mom, for joining me here today. Thank you, Mom, for coming.
Well, you are welcome. I enjoyed it. Good. Very, very much.
Good. I'm glad. And I want to thank you guys out there for listening. And if you would like to join in this conversation, if you would like to give us your review of Zootopia or the Peanuts movie, please write us back. Write us a review. We're a part of the Arcade Archives Network, and you can find us on thearcadearchives.com. You can find us on there. This is where this podcast is if you're not listening to us on the website itself. If you want to reply to us, you can actually reply on the post. There's a place for replies. Just look up on the top left, the top right of the posts. You can see it there. You can also find us on Facebook at facebook.com/arcade81. Or you can follow me directly at facebook.com/talesfromthegamegrid. You can also follow us on Twitter at Arcade A Network. Again, that's at Arcade A Network. Or you can follow me at TalesFTGameGrid. Again, that's at TalesFTGameGrid. You can also follow us on Instagram, The Arcade Archives Network. You can find us on Instagram. We try to post every day. So please, please make sure to follow us on that. And if you want to reply on that, we will definitely answer it. And whenever you reply, that's fine. We will read it on the podcast once I get a reply. Thank you very much. Also, don't forget, also on thearcadearchives.com, I have a monthly webcomic called Tales from the Game Grid, and you can check that out every month. It is a monthly webcomic, and I'm very excited for April's comic. I think people are going to love it. It's a return of a very popular character that was in the comic before, so I'm hoping that it's very popular again with people like before. So thank you so much again for listening to Cartoon Connoisseur Theater Podcast. And thank you again, Uber Mom, for joining me. And thank you all again. And oh, don't forget, iTunes. If you're on iTunes, please make sure you subscribe to this feed and also leave a comment. Make sure you give us as many stars as you feel that we're worth. And please be honest. But if you'd like to give us 5 stars, it would be greatly appreciated. And it'll make people find us easier, too. So thank you so much. See you again next month, everyone, and best wishes to everyone.
You are listening to a podcast on the Arcade Archives Network. If you like what you've just heard, visit our website at arcadearchives.com, where you can check out our audio podcasts, articles, and announcements of upcoming events. You can also email us at arcadearchivesnetwork@gmail.com. You can also go to iTunes and download not just this podcast, but our other ones as well. And be sure to leave us 5-star reviews, too, while you're at it. So until next time, keep playing with power, because there are no limits.
Message from headquarters. This is a Rebellion production and is part of the Arcade Archives Network.
That is all.